She's winding up. She's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh, my.
G'day, listeners. Thanks for joining in to another episode of Triple J Racing Weekly. Certainly recording this podcast here tonight in pretty wet and miserable conditions down here in southern New South Wales. So we're all hoping that we get a better day tomorrow and the Rose Hill service on Saturday for the Group 1 Golden Rose meeting can be hosted on at least a soft track instead of, you know, creeping into that heavy range, and also hoping that the Kembla Grange track down here stays as in the soft range as well. We aren't joined by Bryce Parker tonight, the big fella up north, the DJ up north, Brycey. He's busy. But I am really excited to have trainer Luke Price joining us from Kembla Grange to discuss a number of the stables runners on the weekend and a couple of horses to follow moving forward. And following the discussion with Luke Price, we get Danielle Sives' right-hand man, Aaron Day, on to discuss a number of their runners over the weekend, and also our very own Duke Calzini, who's currently favourite in the Tab Highway. So we're really excited about that race, and we'll also hear how the big fella associates going and a couple of other runners as well. So really excited about that. We hope that everyone enjoys those two interviews, and it's certainly something that we're looking forward to do more and more of in the coming weeks. So hopefully that all goes well. And following those two interviews, I'll jump back on right at the end there and give out a couple of tips for the weekend. Really keen on a couple of runners, and hopefully we can find a few winners. So without further ado, I'll put those interviews up now and I'll jump back on at the end to talk about those runners, and hopefully everyone enjoys the show. I'm joined by Kembla Grange trainer Luke Price, who's certainly down at a very wet and dismal Kembla Grange at the moment. But how are you going there, mate?
Good, mate. All's well.
Haven't got the wet boots on?
No, we got in the truck to go to the races today, and unfortunately they were caught off when we drove out of the street, so we didn't get too far. At least the decision's made before we got there, but look, we can't do much about the weather. We need rain, so hopefully that's all, though. Hopefully today it goes away and we'll see a fair bit of grass grow and the tracks will be in pretty good nick then next month.
Yeah, exactly right. It seems like lately we have these patches where you don't have any rain for quite some time, and then when it does come, it comes in a bit of a flurry and you get too much of it. But anyway, disappointing with Hawkesbury today, but you've got a couple of runners that we're going to talk about on the weekend and see what your thoughts are there. Yep. You got two runners at Rose Hill in the Midway, the first race of the day, Victory Lane and Monte Kate. They both come out of that Midway from a fortnight ago where I thought it was pretty tough to make up ground. Start with Victory Lane, mate. What do you think his chances are like and how he's going?
He has to execute the start. If he jumps on Saturday, he can take up a closer position and he'll be in the finish. There's no doubt about that. He ran the fastest last 600, 400, 200 the other day. They're raving on about Alabama State down the bottom, the second emergency. And like, we've covered more ground than it. We've carried more weight than it. And we've run faster sectionals than it. So, look, if he can execute and be not too far from the start, he could be following the favourite Alabama State if it gets a run. So, look, I could make a great case for him at really juicy odds. And he's, one thing's for sure, he's come on. He went to the races the other day with a really woolly coat. And you'll see his summer coat's really starting to blossom through. So very happy with the horse. And like I said, he's just got to execute and get a few of the things right. And he can certainly be in the finish.
Beautiful. And he's won a couple on a wet track as well. So I imagine you're not too concerned about the track getting into the heavy range if it does.
No, he's got great weather credentials, and look, Adam rode him first up, and he was keen to stick. So, I think all signs are all good there. And then the filly comes out of the same race. I should say the mare, who we've obviously got a lot of time for. She's a very well bred mare. Sometimes can be her own worst enemy, like she was last start when she got a lovely run, box seated, and like you said, it was very on speed, dominated. And look, she got held up at a crucial time of the race, but when she's gotten out, she's had to push her way out, and she's just sort of over-exaggerated it and wanted to run away from the winner and then duck back in and just do little things wrong. And she's still got that in a makeup, unfortunately. But there was 23 days between runs the other day. It's 2 weeks this time, third up, ready to peak. And once again, I had to sort of scratch my head and say, why are we 19-1? I haven't had a great deal of look at the speed yet, but she's got great early tire and going to 1300 with a bit of room. Well, I can see it's been in the first two, and you know what Rose Hill can be like. It can be very on speed, so she'll get through a wet track. That won't worry me, and she'll take a power getting past. Yeah, so look, I'll leave that in Tommy's hands what we do with her, but at this stage she goes around, and I'll go there just as confident as I am with Victory Lane. It should be in the finish.
Beautiful. A couple of nice each way chances to start the day up there in Sydney on a pretty big day, which is good.
Yep.
Kembla Grange, you got a number of runners nominated and accepted down here on the home track. Hopefully, just before we get started, you've obviously been there this afternoon. Do you think we're going to get into the heavy range or forecast is a little bit better over the next couple of days?
I think we'll stay in the soft range. Yeah, I think it was probably on the firmer side this morning, the track. It was only just into the soft five range, but consistent rain this afternoon. We definitely have a virgin on soft six, maybe even a soft seven. But it's been drying out pretty quick, this place. So look, as long as that this rain disappears in the next 12 hours, we wake up to a half decent day tomorrow on a decent enough day Saturday, we'll get a good day's race.
Awesome, that'd be a great result. Satness is in race four, 1600 meter. He's having his 49th career start, which is a pretty impressive feat. He might have been a little bit lackluster to start this campaign, but he's got Keegan Latham aboard. You're going to run him from that wide barrier?
We'll just see the final scratchings and what the track conditions come up as. Like if it's a soft five or soft six and it's a nice day, you'll definitely probably go around if three or four come out. But there's also a race for him on Thursday. So he races really well here at Kembla. Didn't back up the other day at Newcastle. Didn't really show any signs that he wasn't going to, not at Newcastle, Hawkesbury, I should say. The track was just really firm that day and he sort of went two strides and threw up the white flag. So shown 3 weeks between runs can work with him. Been really happy with his work. No reason why he runs bad. He usually maps really well in these sort of races. He's got that early toe, lovely back straight to cross him. We'll just, like I said, we'll just see what the weather comes up. But at this stage, very happy with the horse, and at this stage, I plan to go around.
Happy days. He's one of them war horses, Sadness. He can have bloody 10 to 12 runs in a preparation, which is always good fun for the owners. We've got one of those as well in the same sort of position, Burbeck. They just seem to love racing and can have number of runs in a preparation.
Exactly, he's tough. He's a little bit one-dimensional, a bit like Verbeek. They roll forward, make their own speed on luck, but you know, 9 out of 10 times you get that luck on front, you got to be up there. But he's probably been a touch disappointing this time. Hasn't found his best form, but there's no reason why he won't. The way he's working and the way he looks, so I expect he can bounce back. And he's been inconsistent in his career, but he's usually runs pretty on straight. And I feel if we get the right conditions on Saturday, he'll run a blinder.
Awesome. Race six, we've got Invade and Conquer for the Strong Bloodstock Boys, Barrier Eight. Very consistent horse and nice to see him break his maiden the other day. He's obviously trained on well and he's likely to go around.
At this stage, yeah, he's a horse that will hate the wet weather. So I would want to be a five or a good track to go around with him, otherwise we might have to save him. But he's airborne, absolutely flying. He took a lot of confidence out of that win the other day. His work's been probably better again going into this run. Maybe 2 weeks, 2 weeks. You don't love going that sort of too fast, but it's been all on his home track. You know, got beat by Smart One there, Embassy there, two back. And you know, he's just dominant the other day with the big weight. He gets the same weight, same jockey. Obviously not a midway maiden. You've got a few horses there with John O'Shea's name next to him, and Brad Widdup's got one that looks like it goes all right as well. And even Mitch's horse is drawn soft. It would be hard to hold out as well. But I love the way the horse is going. I galloped him myself Tuesday morning and I couldn't go slow enough on him. He was going that well and he's thriving in work. And once they get that confidence boost, you'd love to see him go on with it. So hopefully the track dries out enough for him, and if it does, you'll see him there on Saturday. If not, we'll be patient and we'll wait.
As they say, sometimes winning the maiden's the hardest one. And his horse is bloody placed in nine of his 12 starts. So he's right up there all the time and knocking on the door. So fingers crossed he can go back to back.
Yeah, it'd be great. You know, I think he's nearly won 100,000 for the owner, so he's done a great job.
That's the beautiful thing about prize money in New South Wales at the moment. Race seven, Monte Braveheart from the inside barrier in a 1200 meter maiden. He's placed on a heavy track, but what are your thoughts there first up?
He was trialed on Monday. Good trial. Good soft draw for him. It's been a touch disappointing, the horse, in his career. He's shown a lot more at home than what he's delivered. But in saying that, he's been unlucky quite a few times as well at the races. So he gets his chance. I don't want to see it too wet. Soft five would be ideal for him. Absolutely ideal track for him. So, like I said, we get a good dry weather from the soft draw. He can just land right in behind the speed. And Keegan's riding really good at the moment. And he's got the right credentials to win this race. So, look, I just want to see a soft five track and see him begin and put himself there. And he'll be in the finish. I've got no doubt about that.
Happy days and lucky last race of the day. You've got three in the race at the moment. Lucky Bay and Spirit of Varanasi and Divine Outcast. Lucky Bay, is this the first run for the stable?
Yep, interesting horse. It's come over 10 weeks, oh, 3 months ago now. He's probably more a miler. It was just interesting to see the way they'll train him over there. He sort of got to 2,000 really quick in his career. He's by the same breed as a Satness. He's a Swayness horse. But he's got good potential. I liked his trial the other day. He done a little bit of work from the outside gate. And they went very quick. He was sort of just rolling along, free bowling along, and obviously took a fast one in broadside to go past him up the straight, and he had the others all held at bay, and he had a real big blow, so he had good improvement in him. I was sort of half content to go on 1400, but I thought I'd keep it simple. I'm stoked we drew a good gate, 1-3. Sam's going to get every chance to give him a soft run, and look, I think he'll need the day out, and they might be just a touch short from sharp for him, but I think he's one to follow. I really like the horse. I think he'll definitely make midweek city form, that's for sure. And yeah, whatever he does, his prep is going to be better next preparation. Being a Kiwi, I think he's still maybe a prep away from reaching his top, but his horse going the right way.
One to follow and Spirit of Varanasi, Barrier 9.
Had genuine excuses the last two starts, drops back from midway company. So watch that first race closely on Saturday. There's a couple of scratchings. She comes into a key barrier, gate 7, which could be a winning gate for her, and she'd be my number one hand in that race. I think she's flying, but she should win at Newcastle. Two back when Dylan rode her, just unlucky, and even the start before that, she was very unlucky as well. First up with Robbie Downey on in the headstock race as well. So yeah, like I say, she just needs a touch of luck, change of luck. Hopefully, she gets that on Saturday because she deserves a win.
And Divine Outcast from the absolute car park. Would you be going around there?
We are actually, yeah, it's a little bit unorthodox to move. Obviously, she's 14 a mile. I just think, a month between runs, I want to get her back and finishing off over the top of them. I've got a sort of gut feeling she might not go a mile. I think she might be a better fresh horse. And the plan is just to ride a stone cold and have her attack the line, and you'll see her back up on the Thursday, as long as all things are in place that she pulls up well. But she's a horse that's still in a trade. There's a fair bit there. She sort of holds a bit back, I feel. Whether it's a temperament thing, just being a filly, she can get a little bit moody. But if they go over fast, she'll be very strong late. You'll see her finishing off like she did at Maria first up, and she won't mind the wet track either if it stays wet. So yeah, she'll be a flashing light, and look for her Thursday backing up if she runs well.
Beautiful. So if she runs well on the weekend, we'll keep our eyes peeled for the odds next Thursday. And sometimes on these wet trucks at Kembla Grange, hopefully we don't get too wet, but sometimes you want to be coming down the outside anyway. So could be one to look out for.
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
Another one that we'll just mention a couple of the other stable horses now. You had one in at Hawkesbury today, and I know that the team have a good opinion of her. She's a 3-year-old filly by Kermadec. Island Deck looks. Off her maiden win recently, she looks like a pretty astute purchase for $30,000 at last year's English Classic sale. What can you tell everyone about her?
Beautiful filly. Still learn to trade. Obviously, when she won, she a big impression. Her trials were good. Still not the finished product. She's still learning, so you don't want to get too excited. But she shows really good ability. The trial was fantastic at Warwick Farm sort of 2 weeks ago. Went to the races today thinking, if we went around, we're going to be in the finish. So look, why can't we do it next week? She'll go around at Kembla over 1,000 meters. Probably a touch too short for her. 1200 might be better, but it's on a home track, home deck. Tommy's booked for the race, so she's a filly that I think will definitely got a mile to 2,000 meters later in her career. So we're just educating her at the moment and going through the grades, and we sort of hate doing the right thing by her, but I love the way she's going. Yeah. She gets us excited, but she's still got a long way to go.
I think the day that she won down there as well, you guys had an absolute field day. I think might have even been Divine Outcast won at big odds. There was another, I think, another winner at $50 plus or something like that. You might have had four winners that day. Is that correct?
I think it was three winners in a second, but yeah, she was probably the shortest one in the market too. Yeah, 2-year-old wins like that, so especially when you know you've got what upside they have.
perfect way to kick off the career. I think have a win, then short spell, and obviously now she's coming back out again now. Couple of the other horses, Monte VB, he obviously raced in the Group 3 Ming Dynasty recently. I think I saw him in the nominations for Wednesday. He'll be going around.
Wednesday or Thursday. He needs to break his maiden. We've just had a dipped our toes in the deep end, so to speak, the other day. Unlucky first start. Got beat by Nice or second up. He had every chance, but maybe going to the 1400 too soon. Might have been, the second up theory there. But look, we just need to break the maiden. His confidence will really boost. He's a colt that we have a lot of time for. He'll be better again in the autumn, that's for sure. But if we can sort of win our maiden either on Wednesday or Thursday, whichever way we go, which best suits the horse, there's a 1600 meter race we might have a look at the back end of the preparation. There's good timing for that. It's a $1 million race for the Callan Presnell, or he might just go to the paddock on a good note. So still immature, going the right way, and he certainly should make the grade.
Beautiful. And there's a little bit of form out of that Warwick Farm maiden with Els Costello winning the race on the weekend. I think there's been a number of winners out of that race. So hopefully he can tick off his maiden and then go on to bigger and better things. Smashing Time, he had a awesome 2-year-old campaign. Finished fifth in the Sire's Produce at the end of that campaign. Or I think went up to the JJ Atkins, but that might have been a bit of a deep into the preparation type situation. But has he come back in and he's back in work now?
He's had 8 weeks' work. It was just disastrous to JJ. He just got absolutely smashed 50 metres after the start and literally knocked the wind out of him. He displaced his pallet and ran out of air, and that's why he laid in the straight. And he's taken a while to come up. We gave him 6 weeks off, and we're still not overly wrapped with him. So we'll see how he gallops Saturday morning. And if he gallops good Saturday morning, we'll have a trial here at Kembla on the 4th. And if he trials well, then we'll go to the races. If not, look, he's a horse with a lot of time for. He's very talented. He's got a lot of. When he won here, he won really well. But look, we didn't miss him as a 2-year-old, and that's the risk you take sometimes. If he's not 100%, we won't risk the horse. We'll just give him as much time as it takes to get right. But look, all going well, we trial on the 4th, and if he trials good, you might even see him at Kembla on his home track on the 12th, which would be exciting, depending on the handicapper. But there's a lot of lovely races, and he's still a Magic Millions horse as well, and it's $3 million this year. So there's a lot of reasons not to give him just two runs and save him for a Magic Millions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's another one that's been mixing it with he's got all good form lines around him. A couple of other runners to talk about, mate. The Triple J Racing team. We've got a young 2-year-old boy, Zusane. We just named him recently Zoo Got Me. He's completed two preparations now with you guys and all reports and from what we've seen down there from him, we're absolutely delighted with the way that he's going. I think last preparation culminated with a couple of track gallops at the back end and a bit of barrier work. So what can you tell listeners about him and anyone who's interested in buying a share, there might be 20% remaining. So what are your thoughts on our young Zoo Got Me fella?
He's absolutely been bombproof. He's if you want a 2-year-old to be good to educate, he's been perfect. He's just done everything from day dot to the letter. He's got a great attitude, he's a great mover, still a big baby, but obviously most of them are. He's a little bit big in the joints and big in the knees. Sorry, my young fella's just coming to say hi. He's immature, a little bit immature still, which is normal. He's a zoo saying they haven't set the world on fire as 2-year-olds, especially early 2-year-olds. But he's a cracking type, zoo saying, and he's a horse that will definitely make it as a stallion. Hearing great reports on him. I've got a number of the zoo sayings myself, and I love them all. And he's right up there with one of the favorite babies that we've educated so far. He's been a real star to educate, and been a pleasure to deal with.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to him coming back in about probably 4 or 5 weeks' time now, which would be great, and see how he goes his preparation. I know you mentioned he might be at the trials pre-Christmas if all goes well. So hopefully we've got a exciting one on our hands there. My missus was actually with us when we purchased this fella up at the Gold Coast, and she absolutely loves him. And she was in my ear the other day. Oh, you're going to get me a share. You're going to buy me a share. And after I was down there the other week when it was having the quiet track gallop, I went home and said to her, "You know what? I've just bought you a share." So pretty happy to get my missus' name in the ownership there as well, and really excited about that. Couple of other runners, mate, Headstock and Isla D'Amore for us. I think they're going to come back into the stable maybe Monday, is it?
Both in Monday, mate. Yep, both in Monday. Great reports. Look, Headstock just had a fantastic preparation last prep. He had a heap of runs. We were obviously setting for a provincial championships, and it just wasn't meant to be. It just didn't work out. Circumstances, whether he wasn't good enough, whatnot, but he's just so consistent, and it was just so exciting to, win the horse of the year the way he did, and just demolish a handy field like he did. And look, I feel he can. He's got a midway in him. We place him at the right time of year in those midways. He can certainly win a midway race. And look, every time you can go to Kembla on a sad day, and he's racing, he just runs right up to his best. His consistency might sort of, rate him out of Kembla Grange racing at some stage, but look, he's been great fun for the owners, and he's been a good money spinner. And the filly, obviously, she didn't come up last preparation, attitude wise. She's just a bit hot. But whether look, there was viruses going around, she might have had a virus, and it just went under detected, and that might have just flattened her, because we had a couple at the same stage, similar things happened to them. So she's still young. She's a 3-year-old filly, immature. She's shown great ability. She's had a good spell now. So we'll get her back, and we'll set things right, and she'll be racing around Christmas, and hopefully racing really well.
Awesome. And the old boy Verbeck, I shouldn't say old boy, but he's had that many starts, you just think he's an old boy. But I think he was, last time we spoke, he was on track to trial next Friday. Is that still the case?
That's still the case. He'll go around on the 4th at the trials Friday week, tomorrow week, and really happy with him. He's full of beans at the moment. He's bouncing around, and he looks fantastic. So I'm sure he'll come up and run really well.
Excellent. Really looking forward to that. Well, mate, thanks for joining me, and good luck with all those runners on the weekend. And I'm sure I'll be down there soon in the morning again, annoying the hell out of all you guys for a couple of videos. So I'll see you down there.
No worries, mate. Too good.
I'm now joined by the right-hand man at Cybe Racing, Aaron Day, down there at Goulburn. I'm sure it's quite cold down there at the moment and pretty wet. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good, Jared. It was quite cold here today. I think a top of 6 or 7 degrees with a fair bit of rain. But we got through the day and track race fairly fair, which was good to see.
Yeah, that was good to see. And you had a D'Argento filly go around. She ran second to a, I think, a pretty smart one today, but I'm sure you were pretty happy with that performance.
Yeah, we were happy. She was eligible for the $100,000 bonus. Obviously, shame to run into Chris's colt today. But she acquitted herself really well, and she's a filly that could progress a little bit further through the spring. So hopefully she keeps measuring up.
Beautiful. Racing's bloody quite competitive everywhere in the country at the moment. So, you're bumping into those good runners from all the bigger stables everywhere, it seems, at the moment. But you've got a you come from a very successful harness family background, mate. So just so listeners are aware, how did you get involved in the thoroughbred game and end up as a part of Cybe Racing?
I was working full time in the health service, doing some social work and stuff like that, and I sort of was away from the horses and went and started helping Denny Williams, mainly over weekend and public holidays and things like that. I did that for 12 months with Denny, and then I sort of enjoyed it that much. I re resigned from my job and started working for Denny full time. And had a great time with Denny. Had a lot of nice horses. Don't Give a Damn, won a country championships qualifier, and had a lot of good times with Denny and learned a lot through him. And that's how I eventually met Danielle when she moved down from Muswellbrook and took up training at Goulburn, and she came down to be Denny Williams' foreman. And sort of things sort of went from there and snowballed from there. And we sort of both resigned from Denny's at the same time and went out on our own, and We had a lot of luck early doors. Denny Old had an old horse he did a really good job with called Assault and Battery. He won a couple of highways, I think, in the first 6 months, and things just took off from there.
Yeah, beautiful. You guys have done such a great job with Cyber Racing, and obviously you haven't the stable hasn't been around for as long as probably many people think. When did the whole Cyber Racing thing happen, and when was that first run for the team?
I think the first run for the team was would be about 5 years ago. We went there very confident to the Sapphire Coast with Assault and Battery, and he did absolutely nothing. And I think we sort of we thought, oh, maybe we overestimated things a little bit. But he bounced back. I think he ran second at Wagga. He was actually a barrier rogue. Had a lot of dramas with him in the barriers. He got scratched a few times and back to the trials. And I kept telling everyone he had ability. And, I think a few people thought we were mad for keep persevering with him. But he actually came out and won his first maiden by 6.5 lengths at Canberra. I think he might have run second his next run. And then he went straight to highway grade, and I think he ran second, and Nashua Willa partnered him, I think, 12 months after we first started for our first highway success. So we were lucky to sort of to get him. It was a horse that Danielle's dad had bought as a weanling, and the family had a great time, sort of racing him, and it was a really good start to our career. So it was a good kick along.
That's awesome. And speaking of these tab highways, I know in my opinion they're getting stronger and stronger every year, but you guys have done a great job putting a number of those tab highway victories on the board, and you've got two tab highways racing on the weekend, which is really exciting. One of those being our horse, Duke Calzini, who he obviously had a really nice 2-year-old campaign. I'm sure you guys were, very happy at the end of that campaign with him running third on debut at Doomben, and then obviously he went up to that Paul Perry race at Newcastle. And I know me and you talk about that race all the time. I think there's bloody numerous subsequent. I think it's one of the hottest races in the books for quite some time, including broadsiding coming out of that. He's a two-time Group One winner, so there's winners galore out of that. But yeah, tell us more about Duke Calzini, mate, and we might go back to the start when we purchased him on the Gold Coast, and what you liked about the horse that day.
He was always a horse that caught your eye, and I think it's a funny story because he's very culty at the time, and he didn't at times he didn't parade well, and maybe he fell under a few guards because of that. He was a bit of a lad up there on the Gold Coast, and I think that's we were lucky to get him for 60, because I think if he paraded how he could, and he had such a great walk, and he's quite an athletic horse, then he might have made a lot more money. But that was sort of, it was a big thing, I think, for we were a young stable, you're a young syndicating, company to go out and splash the cash at the Gold Coast. And, I think it was the first of many successes with that horse, just to land a horse in the first book of the Magic Millions, really, wasn't it?
Oh, it was really exciting, and I remember the day quite vividly because me and Benny were actually, I think we were looking at another D'Argento down there at Bowness Stud Horses at the complex, and we just said to the staff there, oh, we'll just get a couple of the other D'Argentos out while we're here, and this bloke just kind of walked out of his stall, and we just both looked at each other and went, fuck, this bloke looks like. We really like what we saw, and then we saw his fifth leg bouncing around, and we just thought, I don't even know if that's what they call it in horse racing terms, but I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. It was swinging around, and he looked like he owned the joint. So yeah, as you said, we were extremely lucky to get him for 60,000, and very very happy with what he's achieved to date. And he's got a good couple of form lines, even Snow in May out of that Wagga race first up this preparation. She's come out and won again at Newcastle, and then ran second in a group race, I think it was, on the weekend. And yeah, really excited about that. So looking at the highway on Saturday, mate, Barrier 11, we've got Chad Schofield on. He's obviously second up in the preparation, and he didn't really have much go his way there first up at Rosehill. You couldn't run on from the rear and the barrier that he jumped out of, but sectionally, I thought he was outstanding and put in a good performance. So how's he trained on, and what are your thoughts on the situation from the barrier on the weekend?
He's trained on super. We're really, really happy with him going into Saturday. He jumped well the other day, just drew too wide, to make use of that early speed. Looking at the map, I think we might be able to settle, hopefully, in the first half of the field on Saturday. If he does that, it'll be a similar setup to his maiden win at Goulburn. It's always hard for 3-year-olds to, especially this time of year, to beat the older horses, but he's got class on his side, and it's a different highway to most times in the fact that it's only him and Ever I Do that are actually bringing highway form. There's a lot of horses that are stepping up to that grade for the first time, so I think he's really well placed on Saturday. It's a Rose Hill with a horse that can get back a little bit. You're a little bit hesitant to really sort of give them a really big push, but I think he can make use of that draw, and I think riding confidently, hopefully he's too good, and we can move on to better things over the summer with him.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be fantastic. And I think it's a good point you make there. You sort of forget sometimes he's just turned three. He's still working it all out. He goes down to Rose Hill. That his first time at the track there, and put in a pretty good performance. But they are giving away a bit of race experience and still learning their craft a little bit. But I think he's been quite consistent over his career. And the two, probably the two races where he sort of finished a little bit further back. One was the Paul Perry at Newcastle, the other was a listed race at the end of a preparation at Eagle Farm. So I'm excited about that, mate, and can't wait to be up there with a couple of very good owners. You've got another runner in the field, Ghost Walker, 4-year-old. Obviously taking a little bit of time to get to the races, but this preparation got the two placings and then a nice win at Wagga. So having a really nice prep and certainly deserving the chance to head up there. What are your thoughts on Ghost Walker?
Very talented horse. Taken a little while for the penny to drop. He's a horse that will definitely appreciate a mile. He'll probably get further than that in time. He's quite a hard going horse early. Just took a while to sort of teach him to settle. The other day at Wagga, I thought maybe he didn't beat a lot, but the horse that finished midfield there come out won by 4.5, nearly 5 lengths at its next start, and they were only 6 tenths outside the track record the other day. He's a horse that John Van Avermeer has got a lot of time for. Barrier 13 makes it difficult. He's probably still a bit green, a little bit new to everything, but he could be a big improver, even stepping up to that grade. He's probably my, I think because you're looking at them all the time, if there's one horse to give Ducals any a bit of a shake, it may be him, just on raw ability. But I think Ducals any is probably a bit more polished, and I think that'll hold him in good stead. But he's a nice horse going forward, Ghost Walker. He just might be, needs a little bit more seasoning until he's quite ready for those big fields and high pressures that highways produce.
Awesome, mate. Well, hopefully we can get a result in that Tab Highway there on Saturday. Couple of other runners for the stable. You got Charlemagne racing in race six, the Tab Federal down there at Canberra. This is another one of the stable stalwarts, mate. You've had Charlemagne there for quite some time, haven't you?
Yeah, bought him online, I think, for 10 or 11,000. I think he's returned about 180 or something like that. He's been a great little horse for everyone. He was racing super well. Unlucky not to win a Saturday Metro up there at Doomben, at the back end of last prep, and was racing a really good heart in those evening stars at Canterbury, and he sustained an injury. He's on the comeback trail. His last run was good. It was a lot better. 1400 third up's probably not his go. Back to the 1200 suits, but Matt Dale's horse, only carrying 59 kilos coming out of listed grade. Certainly, it looks it on handicaps and ratings, it looks nearly a weighted certainty. So he might be up against it to beat it, but I think he's definitely a good top three chance.
Denny St. Darcy does look very well placed there, but as you said, Charlemagne always turns up and hopefully can run a good race there on Saturday at Canberra. Lastly, mate, Wagga on Monday. You got three horses in the acceptances. Race two, you've got Adventure Seeker going around.
Yeah, nice filly. Autumn Sun filly. She's actually she's a half sister to North England, who's probably jumps a favour in the Breeders' Plate. So it'd be nice to see her Autumn Sun filly hopefully knock off the maiden at Wagga. A little bit slow away the other day at Maruya and a little bit new to things, but I thought she stuck on well on what was a super firm track for Maruya. And she's going to be better for the race experience. She's probably a filly that, she's up there in towards the benchmark of our 3-year-olds in time. She's just still a little bit new to the racing caper, but if she puts it together, she's a definite winning chance on Monday.
Geez, they would have been happy with that trial there on Monday with North England going around. And as you said, I think he'll be the probably the shortest price Breeders' Plate runner for quite some time, I reckon, off the back of that trial.
Yeah, we were quite, we didn't pay a lot of money for her. We're sort of desperate to try and get an Autumn Sun, and it's worked out really well. So a few of the boys that on our side that race associate sort of jumped in, and they might have a valuable filly if he can come out and win the Breeders' Plate. So.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be awesome. So fingers crossed there. Race four, you've got a horse called Urafiki, I believe is the pronunciation. Obviously got a horror barrier there, but joining the stable from Joe Prides. What can you tell listeners about her?
Come down in super condition from Joe, as you'd expect. And, she's a filly. I think she'll appreciate the drop back to country gate. We probably won't run from 17 and look for something else for her. Her provincial form's strong enough. I think, if you are listening, she's a filly that, from a good draw, 1200, we're going to experiment with a little bit of headgear. Just off the strength of her runs at provincial grade, she's going to be hard enough to beat, and she's settled in perfectly. Joe does such a good job with his horses; it's a pleasure to get a tried horse off him. So we might be able to win a race off Joe Pride's work with her pretty quickly, which would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a tried horse guru, old Joe, and then you gotta do the job getting one off him. But that's
Yeah.
exciting, mate. Happy days. Race seven, another one for Champion Thoroughbreds announcing, going around third up in the preparation from Barrier Five.
Been slightly disappointing her first two runs. Struck a heavy track. Trialed great on the synthetic at Canberra. Struck a heavy track first up at Randwick on the Kenzo. The other day at Goulburn, thought she had 60 and a half, sort of raced a little bit fresh at the 1300. So prepared to forgive her. Maybe we rode her the wrong way at Goulburn. I think I think she's better ridden quietly with a sit. She come down from John's place, John O'Shea's stable with a really good record, sort of settling back in the field and rattling home. So we'll go back to what works, do that with her, and hopefully she can sort of return to form and get her preparation back on track, because before she came to us, her profile suggested she should be highway grade. Just been fractionally disappointing the first two runs for the stable, so hopefully she can bounce back at Wagga.
Hopefully finding a feet and can put a good couple of runs together for the team. Mate, before we go, how's the big fella going? By big fella, I mean associate. I'm sure there's a couple of eager listeners here and associate owners that want to know how he's going, and I think that he might be get named up at the Tab Highway on Gong Day, which is third week of November. How's he going?
Look, the first probably 6 or 7 weeks of this preparation has been the smoothest of his life. It's well documented. We've had niggling issues and a couple of things go wrong. But he's tracking along really nicely. Hopefully he's not listening to this, because he can find himself trouble. But really happy with him. He'll head to a head. He'll have his first gallop next Tuesday, and we've got a there's a jump out, I think, fortnight after that, and then off to the trials at Hawkesbury in preparation for that Kembla Grange race. I think we can have a hiccup-free preparation. It was really a preparation from hell going into the country champs, and the fact he made the final was was, something close to unbelievable. If we can get him right and keep him healthy, then, I'm really excited to sort of have another crack at the country championships with him.
Yeah, it was. He's just a horse that's, on those couple of occasions, he's shown a super level of ability. Like that win that day at Goulburn from last, it was a really big thrill for me. I wasn't even trackside. I couldn't make it that day, but, just watching what he was able to do that day, you don't see it very often. And I know Zach Lloyd got off that day when he basically won from last in a qualifier of the country championships, and he got off and, gave him a good rap. And at that time, he was probably had a couple of runs over that shorter trip, and you might have been looking at trying to get him out. And then at the end of the preparation, heavy trucks and all sorts of things. So, as we said, really excited about hopefully him having a dry track preparation and putting a couple of runs on the board. But I must admit, if I have to go out there again and have two nights on the alcohol like I did last country championships, I might find it a bit harder to bounce back this time.
It's just a great experience too. I still laugh when Graham White says, "The first time I've ever seen you speechless," when he came over to interview me after he won. And I said, "You don't understand what's went into this horse and things that, behind the scenes." And I said, "We were all ready to scratch him when he drew 14 of 14 in the country and go to the Orange Cup prelude." I said, ended up looking at the field. I thought, no, if he's right, he can win. And luck we have it. Yeah, the pattern of the day was against him all day. Nothing had made ground up, and I think going to the barriers, I'd nearly resigned to the fact that he was going to be another unlucky run for him. And Zach rode him perfectly that day. And when he's right, he's definitely at 1400. He's in the top handful of country horses in training. That's for sure.
Oh, 100%. I think that's a good point you made too. Like a lot of punters and even horse racing fans, they don't see what the little niggles go on in the background, and the sort of sad times you go through with horses, and the tough times and things like that, and they just see the races rock up on the weekend. So you guys have done a great job with him, and hopefully we can have a bit of success with him this preparation and also moving forward, because he's still very lightly raced and loaded with ability. We've got another runner that we recently purchased from the Tony Gollan yard with your stable, Perugian. He's obviously another pretty lightly raced runner, but he's put together a couple of good runs on the board up there north of the border, and we felt like, and yourselves felt like he might be able to come down here and be placed to win a race or two, and maybe in those sort of shorter sprint tab highways, have his crack at those. Just want to know how he settled in, and for anyone thinking about getting involved in ownership, there are still a couple of shares involved. So what can you tell those guys about Perugine and how he settled in, mate?
He settled in really well. Like, he'd get a good feel, I think, the first 4 to 6 weeks. He's made a lot of improvement, I think, just in his condition and his mannerisms around the stable. He took a little while maybe to sort of find his feet in our system, but he's really starting to blossom. His form's quite good in Brisbane. And for the price that he paid, not a long way out of that horse. I think, he's got good speed. He takes luck out of the occasion with his barrier speed. So he's going to pay his way, and I think he's a cheap buy and a cheap in. If you're looking for a horse that might give you a shout on a Saturday in a highway, then I'd be having a good look at him.
Happy days, mate. We'll really appreciate you jumping on tonight, and I wish you the best of luck on the weekend with all those other runners. And I'll be up there on Saturday, and hopefully we can cheer home Duke Calzini and also Ghost Walker.
Sounds great, Jared. Thanks, mate.
Big thanks to both of those guys, Luke and Aaron, for jumping on the show. Hope that everyone enjoyed the listen, and we can cheer home a couple of runners out of both of those stables over the next couple of days. Lastly, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'll just go through a couple of runners now that I'm certainly keen on and will be amongst my selections over the weekend. And for those interested, you can head to my website, www.triplejracing.com.au, tomorrow night, and you'll get all of our selections across the weekend, best in value and full card selections, and very likely to have some plays at Moonee Valley tomorrow night as well. So certainly looking forward to that. Tomorrow night at Moonee Valley is obviously the Manikado Stakes. Very, very exciting. We see the best sprinters, or some of the best sprinters, going around. Some plenty of young up and coming sprinters taking on the likes of I Wish I Win, and horses like that. And obviously, I Wish I Win's using this race as a lead up to the Everest in 2 weeks' time. And there's going to be one or two here that might put their hand up for those last couple of slots. So very exciting. The two runners that I wanted to pinpoint in that race, Growing Empire, he's doing everything on raw ability at the moment, and I don't think he's been fully extended at this stage. I love that he's third up. The blinkers go back aboard here. He hasn't had it in both his runs this preparation and gets them on here. That'll sharpen him up when he's rock hard fit. Put him in the firing line and he'll be there, and he'll have to show a good turn of foot late to win the race. But I think he's good value at the 460. And the other runner was I Wish I Win. I'm just a little bit hesitant there, knowing that, they'll be staying out of trouble. They'll be coming real wide and they'll just be savaging down the middle of the track out wide. Keep him out of trouble. I still think he might be good enough. I think he's a very, very good each way bet at the 550 and 215. And obviously I think we are getting a little bit of value there with the mindset that the camp are, using this as a lead up to the Everest. But I still think he might be good enough to win the race. I Wish I Win. So not tipping anyone in with confidence in that race, but really looking forward to it. Rose Hill, race five, number three, Gatsby's. He's third up now. He was a dominant winner of the listed Rosebud first up, and then went to the San Domenico Stakes, which was a day where you had to be on the rail, you had to be fence and run, you had to be on the speed. It was a rock hard deck. J Mac put him out of his comfort zone to get him close enough to Storm Boy to try and win the race, and it certainly took away from his zip at the end of the race. I'm also very happy to give horses a bit of a bit of a pass mark when they have a flat second up run, and I think that he'll jump out of the ground here third up from barrier one, where he'll be able to smother it up with cover, and I think he'll be ridden quiet and he'll hit the line. And barrier one there at Rose Hill is always a good draw. So Gatsby's, I'm really keen on $2.25, race five. Golden Rose, linebacker, number four. Really keen on his chances. I hope we get the $6 and $2 odds on Saturday and we can do the one times three play. But he was absolutely exceptional first up. He had the third fastest 4-200 of the entire meeting. He then had the second fastest last 200 of the entire meeting. He finished in 10.64 and 11.08. That's a horse absolutely savage in the line, screaming out for more ground, and he goes straight to 1400 metres second up. Last preparation, he won the Group 3 Ballyhoo off the back of a really dominant maiden win. And then third up, he was second to Broadsiding in the Champagne Stakes, which is a heavy 10. Very close finish. Obviously meets Broadsiding here, but he meets him second up when Broadsiding's first up. Mind Map has him one out, one back, and I think he's carrying the best figures into the race, and I'm really keen on his chances. I think he's one of the hardest to beat. And I'm hoping that he puts on a career best performance, which would be on top of his career best performance first up. So if he can prove again, I think he's going to be very hard to beat and really keen on his chances. The other runner I wanted to back was Kembla Grange, race six, number five, Get a Fix. He's been sort of mixing it in a little bit better company up in Sydney, and just one or two lengths off. He comes down to Kembla Grange now, drops back to class one company. And I think that drop in grade will be enough to see this horse get over the line. I do like the long straight for him. I think he'll be ridden quiet at Kembla Grange and allowed to hit the line. And I think that we can have a saver bet on Invade and Conquer. Or if you wanted to do the win and place Invade and Conquer, you can do that. I think that horse is very consistent, loves racing on the home track. We got good feedback there from Luke Price about his chances again on the weekend, and very good odds. So two horses there I want to back. But as I said, guys, thanks very much for listening in. I hope everyone enjoyed the podcast, and I'll be back again next week with another episode. Jump on the website tomorrow night and Saturday morning, and you'll get all my selections, and hopefully we can have a great day. Cheers.